Democrat of the day is running to take out Eric Paulson in the Minnesota 3rd District to go to the U.S. House. Dean Phillips is kind enough to join us in studio to talk about his campaign and be Democrat of the day. Dean, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you, Matt. Good to be here.
I would have cleaned myself up a touch more. I appreciate it.
Well, I would have done the same.
Well, I mean, I would have, well, probably, you know, worn shoes. But, you know, I mean, it's just the way I am. First of all, can I just tell you, when you announced your campaign, I immediately like, oh, Paulson's in trouble. You're a great candidate, and talk about that a little bit. You talk about your background and why you decided to run for the Minnesota 3.
Sure. Starting about the why, I feel it's a responsibility. I watched that November 16 election with my family, including my mom. I should do a shout out in advance of Mother's Day. I'm going to take my mom to eat local on Mother's Day.
Beautiful.
Watched the election returns that night with my family, including my teenage daughters. And we'll never forget the anxiety and the fear and the anger and the tears that night. And I woke up the next morning over breakfast and promised my daughters that I would participate. And I am glad I did. And I do believe, to all the listeners, I want people to be more hopeful and optimistic, because I think we have an opportunity in front of ourselves right now, perhaps a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, to affect change that we never imagined possible, to increase participation at levels we never dreamt, and that will be a great blessing to this country. And I'm one of just hundreds running for Congress around this entire country who had not been engaged at this level before, who said enough is enough, it's time to participate, and millions of people who have stood up and activated all across the country. Democrats, independents, even moderate Republicans who look at this administration and the characters and values, expressed in that Oval Office and have recognized it's time to come together. And I'm very optimistic. And my background dictates that I participate. I was brought up in different circumstances that many know. My birth father, Artie Peffer, was killed in the Vietnam War when I was just 6 months old. My mother was 24 and widowed, and we lived at my great-grandparents' house in St. Paul for the first 3 years of my life. It wasn't until I was three that my mom remarried, and I was adopted by Eddie Phillips and into this remarkable family with many blessings. And I've lived on both sides of advantage. I grew up visiting one grandmother in a beautiful home in California and another in St. Paul in public housing. I've been subject to disparities that few can imagine, and feel it's a responsibility to do what I can to rectify that. And I'm in a position to do so in my life right now, and thought this is a time to serve.
It's a great story, a story where, you know, it just shows the American dream, that the fact that there is no one background, there is no one image here. We all come from a melting pot ourselves, and it's the human experience we all have that we bring to the table, and that's why I think you're an exceptional candidate in the three.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And by the way, I also want to go back to what you said about the importance of getting involved. This is, you know, this is not like 2004, although I still feel as I wish we would have won that election, that presidential election, because there was a lot on the table. This time around, although I think it was the same thing then, we have to save the United States of America at this point. I cannot understate that. There is so much corruption, so much failure on so many levels being facilitated by the current Republican Party and Eric Paulson specifically, who has been quiet in his rise to power within this Republican Party in the House of Representatives, who is now desperately trying to distance himself. But you know he voted for Trump. You know he supported the Republican ticket. He is not doing his job of regulating the executive branch as he should, and he has failed Minnesotans over and over again.
He has, and I say every day to people that I believe our Constitution anticipated a president like Donald Trump. It prepared us for it. It did not anticipate a Congress filled with so many who lack courage. And I believe Eric Paulson is the poster child for that woeful lack of courage, unwilling to speak truth to power, beholden to party instead of principle. And the money, as you know, Matt, one of my primary mandates is to address the corruption that is caused by money in politics. You know, we have legalized corruption in this country in ways that no industrialized democracy in the entire world has.
Michael Cohen just looked at all of
it. How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
It would take us 3 hours to account for all the injustice and corruption. And I'm on a mission. I'm on a mission to expose this issue, to elevate the importance of addressing it. And boy, you know, the money influences outcomes in this country, and it also influences the status quo. You know, we can't get much done That's why I don't take money from PACs. I don't take money from special interests. I don't take money from federal lobbyists. And I refuse money from sitting members of Congress because I don't want to be beholden to anybody's principles other than my own and the people I represent. And I'm on a mission, and we are going to affect change.
Dang, I like a good Democrat. Yes, Dean Phillips is Democrat of the day, and I'm getting this is great. I am like, okay, tell me what I need to do to get someone elected right now.
Sign the Minnesota Way pledge. That's a beginning.
Let's talk about that. The Minnesota Way pledge. What exactly is that?
Well, some listeners might remember in 2016 in a televised debate, Eric Paulson sprung on Terry Bonoff. What he called the People's Pledge.
Yes.
The People's Pledge was a commitment to forego and disavow all outside spending, and the penalty would be a 50% contribution to a charitable organization if there was outside spending on the candidate's behalf. It was not accepted by Terry Bonoff, but I have since, just in fact 2 weeks ago, returned that to Eric Paulson.
Okay.
Challenged him to do this, what I call the Minnesota way. I grew up in a state like, in the same state you did here in Minnesota, the same culture that valued collegiality, collaboration, decency. And I want to return to that. And that means foregoing outside expenditures. I believe that means foregoing PAC money. That's why I don't accept it. And thirdly, I believe that means we should show up in public and entertain questions from people. What a novel idea. It is the foremost responsibility of representation to listen, to show up, take the heat, and be courageous. Mm-hmm. And my father taught me as a little boy and my mom, they said that if two people always agree, you only need one of them. I learn more from people who disagree with me. I want to be in front of people who challenge me. It is a responsibility to show up in every part of this district, not just show up in front of Democrats, independents, Republicans, libertarians. That's where I learn. That's what representation means. Mm-hmm. It is not the House of Politicians. It's the House of Representatives. So the Minnesota Way is encouraging Eric Paulson. It's offering Eric Paulson the opportunity to do this in a very principled, ethical fashion. And in so doing, we can inspire the rest of the country to transcend the political nonsense right now and try to encourage people to do this in a principled fashion.
You talk about Eric Paulson's telephone town halls because, let's just face it, he is terrified of facing the public. Healthcare, Trump. Even in the agricultural areas of the third district here, we now have soybeans being forbidden from China because of Trump's
Indeed.
Trade policy. And at no point is hardly any Republican who represents a farming district even bringing up the points like, what? Wait a minute here. We need the soybean trade. And this is a man who has been able to build his little castle without having to interact with the constituents, or as he considers them, the minions that are around him, that are beneath him. I don't think there's anything that highlights that more than his unwillingness, that this idea that a telephone town hall is just like a real town hall. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It's called a town hall because you have a town hall which you go to, not dial into and hope someone puts you on speakerphone.
Indeed. And it has so much to do with allowing the public to ask questions. And anything that's curated or measured to the degree that these telephone town halls are, it does not afford people that opportunity. And by the way, this is not unique to Democrats. It's important that everybody know that I hear this from Republicans every day who recognize this dereliction of duty and the responsibility to show up in public. There are tens of thousands of people in this district that still wish Jim Ramstad was serving in office. Mm-hmm. He was a statesman. He was a decent man. He showed up. He was willing to take the heat. Eric Paulson talks like Jim Ramstad, and he votes like Michelle Bachmann. And people are recognizing it.
he votes like Ted Cruz. I mean, he is out there at this point.
Yeah, and I hate to laugh.
They like doing that make-believe stuff. But the PAC money, how much money has Paulson taken in PAC money?
He's taken almost $8 million during his congressional career. And by the way, this is the same man that when he was a member of the Minnesota legislature proposed foregoing PAC money, saying that any sense that money was used to influence politicians is something that should be addressed. This is not news to him. This is not something that this is actually something he's advocated for in the past. I simply believe that when you serve this country and serve a district, that you should not be bought, and in my case, cannot be sold. That's why I want to forego those dollars. And that means comprehensively. That means that I forego money from organizations with whom my principles are aligned. But representation begs to be independent. Independent of the money, independent of that influence, and the job is to represent people. How can you represent people if you don't show up and listen to what's on their minds?
Money that he has taken is also encapsulated, not only the $8 million from PAC money, but the NRA has been the NRA has been able to count on Eric Paulson as a reliable guns before children, guns before humans vote. He has a record of standing up for the guns over common sense and decency. And it is something which is coming back to bear because now he's pretending, as we do, he's pretending all of a sudden, for the first time ever, wait a minute here, maybe I'm not solely for the NRA. It's make-believe, it's fantasy land, it's acting, that's all it is. Talk a little bit about that because let's face it, Eric Paulson is in the pocket of the NRA and the gun and bullet manufacturers.
Indeed, it's just one example of the hypocrisy that just drives me nuts. He's accepted over $21,000 from the NRA. He just recently voted for conceal and carry reciprocity, which we should all be aware of, because not only is it troublesome from a weapons perspective, it is deeply troublesome for anybody who values states' rights. Why should we be subject to the laws of Wyoming or Idaho? That troubles me. His recent volley to show that he cares, I think, is a drop in the bucket. And we should be aware of the truth, and that is that the gun lobby has a lot of members of Congress in their pockets, not just with the money, but with the influence and expectations. And anybody listening, if you have a moment, Google the name Mark Dann, D-A-N-N. He's the former attorney general in Ohio. He wrote an extraordinary op-ed piece in the Cleveland newspaper about 2 months ago that exposes the truth about how the gun lobby had him in their pocket when he was a member of the Ohio legislature. It is troublesome, and it is real, and it is exactly what we have got to address. And another reason why I will not take money from any organization. I will only accept money, contributions, from individuals, mm-hmm. because that's who we are here to represent.
The Democrat of the day is Dean Phillips. Let's talk about two other issues and issues that I've heard other Democrats bringing up that are obviously major issues. Healthcare is number one. Republicans are refusing to talk about healthcare because after 59 times attempting at appealing Obamacare under President Obama, they haven't been able to kill it under Trump. And they're realizing that their promises of cheaper healthcare, that's better coverage, the only way you could do that beyond Obamacare is a single payer expansion of Medicaid, Medicare. That was the only way. They have no intention of doing that. They're now back to the point of pre-existing conditions, of premiums outpricing people from being able to get health care, medications that are too expensive for parents to be able to get their children, so they have to watch them die because they can't afford the medications, and basically deductibles, which make their insurance useless anyway. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that, because where do you want to go with the health care issue?
Well, I believe it's time that we make the moral decision to ensure that every American has health care when they need it, no matter your age, your income, your geography, or your condition. That is my personal mandate, and I will not rest until everybody in this country is afforded that. That said, the question becomes, how do we achieve that? And I spend a lot of time, as you know, driving around this district in my old 1960 milk truck, my government repair truck, and I visit with people from all across the political spectrum. And this is not an issue unique to Democrats. Everybody is suffering from increasing healthcare costs and from increasing healthcare premiums. I talk to families who are one illness away from bankruptcy. I talk to people who can barely afford the increases in their health insurance. In fact, the recent tax bill that was signed and developed by Eric Paulson and voted yes by Eric Paulson will only further increase those rates. And I spoke to a teacher last week who she and her husband saved for their retirements, both educators. He was diagnosed with early onset dementia, and now they have to spend $6,000 a month out of pocket simply to care for him. It's going to bankrupt them. You know, this country is better than that, and it's my responsibility, it is our collective responsibility to ensure that people have access to health care. I believe the best way to do so is, first and foremost, when I go to Congress, to shore up the ACA. It is broken. It is a step in the right direction, but we need to reestablish the reinsurance programs that will keep rates low. But we have to start with the cost of care in this country. Mm-hmm. We spend way too much, much more than any developed country in the world. Our outcomes are mid-pack. And I understand why we spend so much. I have some experience in the healthcare provision arena, and I have some ideas on how we can address this. Starting with today is a perfect example. You know that President Trump announced his plan to reduce pharmaceutical prices, not even close to what he promised during his campaign.
Yes.
And everybody should be aware, in Great Britain, the average patient spends the average cost per patient is $500 or so for prescription drugs annually. In our country, it's almost $1,200. Our outcomes are comparable to theirs. We spend so much more because we have an incentive system designed to promote profits, designed to reward procedures and hospitalizations, not designed to reward prevention and quality. And we can fix it. And a simple step in the right direction is to immediately expand Medicare for all as an option, as a public option, demand that Medicare negotiate pharmaceutical pricing, and demand that Medicare help reform the care delivery model so that we reward prevention. Until this country starts investing in people's health, as we do in a lot of other categories, including education, until we invest in health, we will be the most expensive country in the world for healthcare, and it is unsustainable. And I want to address it. And I do see ways to work with Republicans to allow the freedom to choose the plan that may be best for you, but to ensure that every American has care when he or she needs it that is affordable.
Republicans were the first ones that came up with health care.
Exactly.
They were. And I mean, when you talk about fixing the ACA, get rid of the Rubio amendments out of the thing and you take care of 99% of the problem right there. Absolutely. Great stuff there. Education, briefly. Betsy DeVos was hammered by the 50 state teachers of the year, which is actually pretty good, because they exposed the flaw in her system. Her argument is kids in a bad school, take the kid out of the bad school, ship the public dollars into a private school or into a charter school system, and henceforth they get a better education. They brought up the point, you can only take about 20% of any school district out of a public school, which means you have 80% of the students left behind, hardly any funding, and basically, their entire education system is thrown away. Talk about what you'd like to do with education.
Well, I believe that every single American child should be afforded a world-class public education, regardless of color, religion, zip code, you name it. The disparities in education in this country are woefully inappropriate, can and should be addressed, and our first priority as a country. And this is both at the federal level and the state and local level. Our first priority has got to be a world-class public education system. Mm-hmm. And that's where we start. I am one who believes also, I speak again to families every day whose children have had wonderful experience in charter schools or parochial schools or private schools, and that's fine.
Yeah.
This is America.
Yes.
But we have a responsibility and an obligation to ensure that our public education system is the world's best. And we have the resources, we have the innovators, we have the ideas. We can start by ensuring, at a local level, we must start by ensuring that we bring IDEA funding back here. The third district alone, in which I'm running, has to make up for about $147 million a year in unfunded federal mandates that our delegation should be advocating for. That's one. We need to elevate the esteem and respect for teaching in this country. It is the most important profession in this country. And I also believe there are some solutions that may not cost a whole lot. I talk to a lot of retired people every day who have a lot of time and life experience on their hands, and I want to form a national retiree corps that can go into schools, support teachers, give kids high fives and hugs, help them learn how to read, go on field trips, and most importantly, share some of their life experience with kids. It doesn't cost anything, and it gives an entire generation of retirees the great blessing of participating in helping children. This is the America that I love. This is the America that we can be, and we can do it. My job is to create conversations, generate dialogue, and get to it.
Wow. I wish you've got to come back.
I'd love to come back.
Oh, my God. Dean Phillips is once again running against Eric Paulson. This is me. This is not you. I call him the albino leech. But that's just me. That's me. That's me. I'm a jerk. But you're not. You're actually you're a politician people can believe in. And for goodness sakes, I do want to do everything in my power to make sure that you are the representative for District 3. PhillipsForCongress.org. PhillipsForCongress.org. I'll link to everything a little bit later on. By all means, go on out. donate, volunteer. I'm sure you're doing door knocking now. It's a little cool today, but imagine this weekend's supposed to be very nice. You're looking to get people out there and reaching out to all areas of the Third.
Indeed. And my request to everybody listening is to extend invitations. Let's start by extending invitations to people, generating conversation again. If you do so, we would recognize that there's a lot more we agree on relative to the outcomes. So let's have thoughtful conversations about solutions and tactics. And this president has given us a remarkable opportunity, rather than running to corners, to come back and meet. And if we do so, we're going to leave a legacy for the future that is quite extraordinary.
I keep saying this, help your local Democrat, but when you've helped them, go find a Democrat where the current seat's held by a Republican and help them. You can help Dean Phillips. Phillips for Congress. Dean, an absolute pleasure. An absolute pleasure. We'll spotlight that one a million ways from Sunday. We'll take a break. We got a final break and we'll come back for a short segment. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.